Yes, coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom, everyone, and welcome to the Coffee Break Hour with myself, Aaliyah, with Yusuf, and a warm, warm welcome to you wherever you are in the world. And we are saying, may you have a warm welcome, because we are down here in Cape Town, and it's raining, and it's been raining for a while, and we are very blessed by that, of course, because of this great drought that we've been having and this great drought that we've been experiencing. And so it's such a blessing to have this rain. And this evening I'm sitting with a nice warm hot water bottle, and Yusuf, you got a nice puffy jacket on and we're just trying to keep warm, and we are happy to be together again for this coffee break. And we really just want to pray that Abba Father's will be done, and we believe that he has a very special message for each and every single one of our hearts this evening. And so, Yusuf, welcome to you. And how are you feeling? How are you doing? How's your week been?
Shalom, Aaliyah. I'm always, always excited because we have this great opportunity to get together for the coffee break. And it's something that I think not only do we look forward to, but we also come with great expectancy. Mm-hmm. And I'm expectant this evening. I really feel and believe that the Father's got a great message that he wants to share with us from his heart, like a good father wants to share with his children. And like Aaliyah said, it's so, so awesome to be able to have some rain in Cape Town, and we are so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. But we're also grateful this evening that we can just fellowship with you, each one of you around the globe, and those that will be joining us after the broadcast. We also pray Yahweh's richest blessing mm-hmm. upon you. So I am hoping this evening that wherever you are, that Yahweh will be with you. Mm-hmm. Whether it's cold, whether it's hot, we know we heard just today that most of America at the moment is under a heat wave. So it's crazy how where we are, it's cold, mm-hmm. where you are, it's hot. But praise Yahweh for seasons, right?
I would rather have the cold than have the hot.
That's right, especially that kind of hot.
Yeah, that was crazy when we were in Arizona last year in April, and it was so hot there, and I don't think that we're prepared for it. It does get hot down here where we live, but we just don't like the heat at all. Mm. And I guess because we live by the ocean, it doesn't get that kind of like dry. That dry heat's terrible, whereas you can still go to the beach and there's always a tiny little bit of a cool breeze and it's sweet. But yeah, the heat is not fun.
I think the problem by us is that we have the beach and the ocean, but our ocean is continually freezing cold, no matter mm-hmm. what time of the year it is. If you have the guts to put it that way, to go and swim in the ocean, all the best for you. But it's cold.
Where we stay is the sharks.
That's
you know,
right.
We have the sharks that jump out of the water here, and it's the only place in the world where the great whites do that. Where they literally, I mean, we've never seen it. Mm. Okay, it's not like they're doing it every day like dolphins, but they literally do gather this momentum underneath the water, and then they jump up and out to catch fish and things. And they have known to you know, kill a few people right here. And so, you know, I didn't see the point of that. I really don't see the point of swimming here. I just have heard some very scary stories, but I mean, people do, right? They do, and they swim here and everything, but yeah, no, that's not for me. But Yusuf, would you like to open in prayer for us this
evening? Let's do that. Father, we want to thank you this evening for, firstly, Father, for the opportunity that we have just to come together as family and friends. And Father, every single week that we do the coffee break, Father, it's with great gratitude and with great expectancy, Father. And we want to pray this evening, Father, as we get into your word, as we fellowship around your word, Father, that every preconceived idea of man, Father, will fall short. And Father, that your truth and that your light, Father, will shine forth. Father, that we will understand this evening, Father, your heart for your people. That we will understand, Father, what you desire from your people too. And Father, that you are the good, good Father. You're the one who sets us free. You're the one, Father, who gives us strength to continue every single day. So Father, we thank you for everyone that has joined us. We thank you, Father, for this broadcast. And we pray, Father, that it will reach far and wide, and that people, Father, will be blessed, not by the words of Yusuf and Aaliyah, Father, but by your word that brings life. It is your word, Father, that changes us, and we are so grateful for that. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, I just have one thing to ask while we get into to just sharing from our hearts this evening. I really believe that this evening that we have something very special to share. And I say special because it really is from the Father heart of Yahweh. And I just really want to ask that while we do that this evening and while we share very openly, very deeply, you know, that we will keep the chats to just when the songs are playing. And I know that it's good. We need to say hello. That's great. And say hello to everyone. But just imagine if you go when you were in a church or you were in a proper congregation where it wasn't a midrash. That's another coffee break on its own, midrashing. But where it's not a midrash, where this is really, would you have the liberty if you were sitting in a church and a guy was or woman was standing on the stage preaching, would you have the opportunity to comment after every single scripture they read or after every single thing they read? You wouldn't have that because it's best to sometimes just sit and listen. And when we listen, we can hear. And I really want you to do that this evening, to sit back and listen and hear. And a lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people have also said to us that sometimes they find that amount of talk on the chat during the coffee break very distracting. And we want to create an environment where Yeshua's spirit can dwell. And for us to have that his spirit with us, we also have to be sensitive to his spirit and to have that peaceful silence. So I ask for that this evening. And I know, because I'm a very deep person, when you go deep with the Father, there comes a time of awe and peace. And we need to, even in that vulnerability, we need to just be silent and we need to just listen. And we must listen to hear, not listen to have a little sound reverberate on our eardrums. We must listen to hear and receive. So I ask this evening that we come in a spirit of humility together and we say, let us hear, listen to hear, and keep the chats to when the songs play. Mm-hmm. And it's good for us to chat in fellowship, and we need to do that. But sometimes when there's a lot of comments that's happening after scriptures or talking, then it can get very chaotic, even for us here, sitting here, because we have to try and keep up with everything. We simply cannot. So I'd like to ask for that humility and that sincerity this evening. And Yosef, you know, the biggest thing that was really on my heart, that the Father's really laid on my heart, is this whole reality of what Yeshua was speaking about to his followers and to his disciples and to his friends and to the people that he really was calling to follow him. And that's the reality of him, Yeshua, being the good shepherd. And this whole truth that he shares with us about this being this good shepherd to us is found in John chapter 10. And it really starts, you know, verses 1 to 10 is very important. But I really wanted to read from verse 11 where Yeshua is speaking and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. And it says that it goes on to tell you about the hired servant. The hired servant doesn't do this. He merely just serves for wages. And then when the sheep get attacked, then he runs away. But in verse 14, it goes on to say that I am the good shepherd, and I know and I recognize my own, and my own know and recognize me. Even as truly as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I'm giving up my very own life and laying it down on behalf of the sheep. Now, I just wanted us to think about those three verses in particular. And what is he actually saying? And what is he actually trying to communicate with us? And what is he actually telling us? And that's not a theological thing. It's not about, okay, theologically what is happening, and let's get into this context and everything. Just on a very, very plain, simple level, what is it saying to us right now? And what is it saying to us in our own lives? And what is it saying to us today, where we find ourselves today? And, you know, the first thing is that the good shepherd, he is saying that he is the good shepherd. So he's pointing to himself as a very specific thing, because he's saying that there are other, you know, shepherds, but he is the good shepherd. He is the specific one. He's pointing to himself as being very, very specific. Right. And he's saying that he is good. And you know, that word for good there actually is a word that's also used to describe something that's very beautiful and that's within, very pure. And usually they use the word virtuous, which would mean, you know, pure and good and just filled with this goodness. And I was really thinking when I was reading this that how many times in our lives, and you know, I know that because I know that you and I had this conversation, and the natural thing to say to what I'm going to say is very much that yes, yes, yes. But when we're going through things in our lives, for example, or we've encountered disappointments, or we're in a season of grief, and grief is not just associated with death. Mm-hmm. It's associated with loss or retrenchment from work or pain of a lost dream or just a faith crisis or wilderness or anything like that. We have this tendency within ourselves to struggle with that belief of, is Yeshua really good? Is he really good? Is he really going to do good things for us? And is he really going to, you know, be good in every single season of our lives? And if we say to somebody, you know, do you believe that Yeshua is good? Do you believe that Yeshua is good to you?
Do you believe that?
Hey?
Do you believe that he's good to you?
Do I believe that he's good? I do believe that he's good. I believe that Yeshua is good.
Amen.
In everything. But I don't think that I'm not the kind of person that lies to other people, and I'm not self-righteous, and I'm not trying to put on for anybody. So I know that a lot of people will jump up and down and go, yes, Yeshua is good. But I know beyond a doubt, as I sit here this evening, that when you're going to be challenged, when you're going to face disappointment, when you're going to wait for a lost dream, I waited for 3 years for a specific dream of mine. And in that time of waiting, I had to question myself, because in the sense of I had to ask myself, do I believe that God is good?
Mm.
Because you go through a lot of hard times, you go through a lot of bad things and a lot of disappointment, and you wonder, is he still working it out for my good? And the truth, Yosef, is that the best way to walk with Yeshua is to be completely honest with ourselves. I totally believe that Yahweh is good, but sometimes I don't know if I believe in my heart that he is good, but my mind tells me that he is good.
Yeah, amen. You know, Leah, why I ask that is because I think that there's a lot of people that confess and they say, well, you know what, I know that Yahweh is good, I know that Yahweh loves me, but exactly like you said, when the push comes to the shove, do we really, really trust in his goodness? Do we really, really trust in his word that says that I am a good father, or his word that says that I am, as it says here, the good shepherd, you know, or do we just see him as the shepherd or a shepherd? You know, there's many different shepherds. And that's, I think, something that we're going to look at this evening. But do we really come to a point where we realize that he is the only shepherd that we should be following, but more importantly, that he's the good shepherd? And sometimes, you know, as that good shepherd, he puts us through, you know, things in our lives sometimes that we don't always understand, but we need to have this trust. And I think, Aaliyah, that, you know, what you're saying this evening is of utmost importance, because as we're moving on in time and as we're moving on in the plan that the Father has for his people, we have to begin to realize, or not realize, but experience him. I'm not all about, you know, just experiences. I don't believe that's how it should be. But we need to be experiencing him as this good shepherd. And not only just the good shepherd, but I think all the I am statements that he makes is about his character towards his people. Like we saw in I am the vine. He was speaking specifically to his faithful ones, and he's doing it here again. He's speaking specifically to Israel as a whole, but he's actually speaking to his disciples, and he's saying to them, you know what, I am this and this and this, and there are others out there that I have to go fetch and bring into this fold. That's what he's saying. And as that, he's saying to them, I am that good shepherd to them, because they needed to know that he was good, but not only good, but what he said to them, he will do. And I think, like, I like what you said, because the truth of the matter is that we have a lot of self-righteous people, even if you don't want to believe it, it's the truth. A lot of people that just jump up quickly and say, oh, but I know him as my father and stuff. But the truth of the matter is, if you know him as your father, then are you really doing the same things that he did? Are you loving as he loved? Are you serving as he served? It's one thing to say that we know him, but does he really know you in the way that he desires to know you? That's the difference. Mm. And I think this evening as we go through, you know, as we carry on with this coffee break, that we need to evaluate and ask ourselves, you know, do we know him in the way that he wants to be known? And does he know you in the way that he wants to know you? Or is it just surface level stuff?
You know, I also realize and know that, and I always say this, that we are human beings, and that sometimes I know that some of the best people and the most on fire people sometimes struggle because things happen in our lives and our vision is limited. We don't have a peripheral vision of our lives. We only have, you know, once we get into the future, we can look back and go, ah, that makes sense why that happened in the past. But when you're in it, it's not easy. And so it is easy to kind of stumble in a little bit and be like, well, you know, is he really good? Is he really working it out for the good? But I've come to realize in life that Yeshua loves the journey, and he loves the journey with us. And that is part of the shepherd, because Psalm 23 is, of course, one of my favorite psalms, and probably many of yours as well, that you just love and can connect with Psalm 23. And Yosef, I said to you actually the other day, why is it that we love Psalm 23 so much as people? You know, growing up, my parents didn't teach me the Bible, and I never read the Bible. And they never taught it to me because I never grew up in a spiritual or religious family. But the one scripture that my mom did teach me was Psalm 23. And she taught it to me, and I had it stuck up. And I remember I had it stuck up on my door, and I would look at it. And I don't know if I ever connected with it, but it was only until I really got saved and experienced the Father in that way as being a shepherd. Now, what does the shepherd do? A shepherd leads and a shepherd guides. And when I say to Yeshua, you know, what is this whole thing about you being the shepherd? I actually wrote a poem piece about 2 months ago, and I shared it, and a lot of people connected with it, and it was about being led by the shepherd and about being led and how we're always in a rush. We always want to rush. We always want to, you know, I want to heal this wound quickly, or I want to get to my destination quickly, or I want to see my destiny, or I want to arrive at my purpose, or I want to fulfill this, or I want to do this, and I want to do that. And we want to rush, but Yeshua doesn't rush because he wants to journey. He wants to journey with us. And one of the biggest things about the shepherd is that he wants to lead us. And it says that he leads us beside streams of this beautiful, living, turning water. But there's so many different translations of Psalm 23. And some of them actually say that he leads us slowly. He leads us calmly. He leads us gently. He leads us in this very peaceful way. You know, Yeshua is not rattled. Mm-hmm. He's never rattled, and he's never caught off guard, and he's never fretting.
Thank goodness for that.
Never, because we are sometimes like that.
Yeah, I agree.
And he's never in that place. He's always in a place of calmness. And he's like, you know what? I know that you want to get to the top of the mountain because you want to see your destination and you want to arrive at that point. But you know what? I actually just want to journey with you. And with that in mind, Yosef, I want to read this beautiful thing that actually I read in a book. And this is part of, you know, Psalm 23 says that his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And I find that incredibly comforting. And I think the rod and staff would mean different things to different people. But I also read, you know, here, one of the scriptures that I read to you here was that Yeshua says that he knows the sheep, but, and he knows them, but they also know him. And so there's an intimacy there. And that word for know in John chapter 10, verse 14, is actually a word for what they would interpret as carnal intimacy, which would be an intimacy between two people that makes them one. Mm. Now, Yeshua prayed in John chapter 17 when he prayed for us. He prayed to the Father and said, let them become one, you know. So as Yeshua and the Father is one, Yeshua speaks many times throughout the Gospels that we need to be one with his Father as he is one with the Amen. Father? Do we even see that as a possibility? Because if we can live in the oneness with the Father as Yeshua lived with the Father, that's when we could do greater works than Yeshua did, because he said that we would do more things than he would do, even though that doesn't make much sense to me, does it?
You know, Leah, there's one person that comes to mind right now while you're speaking, and it was Rabbi Shul. You know, a while back, I did a teaching that was called To Know Him. And in that teaching, I spoke about how Paul, the apostle, you know, Rav Shul, how he says that he wants to know Yeshua in those various different ways, in his death, in his resurrection, and in life, and how he wanted to know him. And you know what you're saying now about the fact of knowing him and being known by him. That was something that Yeshua came to do. He came to make his Father's name known. He came to reveal his Father to his people. And to all people, and if it wasn't for Yeshua, would we really today in this generation know anything really? We would only have, you know, the scriptures. We wouldn't really have his words and all the things that he did. So he came to make his Father known, and that speaks to me volume, because Paul, he says, I want to know him, but at the same time, Paul was wanting to go out and make Yeshua known in a powerful way, and he was willing to die for that. Mm-hmm. He was willing to sacrifice everything. He said, you know what, to live is gain, to die is glorious. I want to live like this. I want to be that kind of person. And that's really what it's about. Yeshua came to make his Father known. And by making his Father known, his disciples got to know this true power that was within Yeshua. And they became bold people. And that's why, you know, Rav Shul, he was a crazy guy. And then he falls off his horse, remember? And he began to know intimately who this Yeshua is. And I think that, you know, when you look at the life of Paul, he goes to many Roman people, and he stands in front of many, you know, many prominent people, and they think he's crazy because, you know, this guy is talking all this stuff, but they didn't understand. And many times he says, you know, I was so and so. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. And he goes on and he listed. But the thing that stuck out the whole time, every time that he stood in front of someone else, was this knowing, this assurity that, hey, you know what? You can put me in jail. You can do whatever you want. But I know who I am because he has been revealed to me, but he has also been revealed through me. And that's the thing. I think that Yeshua is trying to say, yeah, he's that good shepherd, but he's making himself known, as you said, as his Father was known to him and through him. He's now saying, you know what, this is what I want you to have, and this is what it means to actually be Echad. It's not a state of mind, it's a state of being. It's not a state of thought, it's a state of your heart's condition with the Father. We can all say, oh, one. We can say that word over and over. We can say, oh, I'm one, let's be one. But the fact of the matter is, are we really one? Because if we really, really one, we'll think like him, we'll talk like him, we'll act like him, we'll have the power that he had. We'll yield the sick, and it won't be a question of, oh, I'm not so sure if it will happen, because that's what it really means to be one.
And you know, Yeshua came so that he could, like you said, he could show the Father to his true followers, that he could make Yahweh known, so that ultimately they would know Yahweh. Amen. That was what it was about.
That was it about.
Because he said that he came to do nothing else but to reveal the Father.
Amen.
And to offer us everything that Yahweh, because it says in the scripture that Yahweh so loved the world.
Amen.
That he sent his only begotten Son.
Amen.
So that whoever believes in Yeshua will be saved.
That's right.
So Yahweh made that choice from the beginning.
That's right.
That he was going to send Yeshua. And the scriptures go on to tell us that Yeshua came, why? So that we can be reconciled to Amen. Yahweh.
You know, Leah, that reconciliation, you know, oh man, you know, we speak so often, eh? We say, oh, you know, the restoration of all things is happening. We speak about that. As Hebrew Roots people, there's been movements that have started called the restoration scriptures, the restoration this, the restoration of this and that. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, the restoration, and we're going to see that as we carry on with this coffee, that restoration of all things isn't just the restoration of his name. It isn't just the restoration of the Sabbath. It isn't the restoration of the festivals. Restoration of all things is a returning to the Father. It's a returning to that way that it was in the Garden of Eden. That returning of living as one with him, as Adam and Eve did in the very beginning. That's the restoration of all things. The Shabbat and the name and all these things is a cursor, if I have to put it like that. Not a curse, a cursor. In other words, a marking point that puts you on the road to the full restoration. That leads you back to that Holy of Holies, the place where life is, where the garden is supposed to be. That's what it's about. And that's what Yeshua came to do. He came to restore us back to the way that it was in the garden.
And you know what? The only way that we can be reconciled to Yahweh is through Yeshua.
Amen.
Not through our keeping of Torah.
Amen.
Not through our keeping of laws and instructions. That's not how we're going to be fathered. That's not how we're going to be a fathered generation. We're only going to be a fathered generation who knows. And I want to be dead honest with you tonight. There are many of you that are sitting here that are still fatherless. And I know that you think that you aren't, because maybe you had great dads, or you had great moms, or you had great aunties and uncles. We all have a fatherless issue. And when we have a fatherless issue, it breeds things like perfectionism, legalism, self-righteousness, pride, arrogance,
anger,
insecurity, anger, addictions to drugs, pornography, whatever. Because we're struggling with these issues, there's a root, and the root that we've often been able to recognize, even within ourselves. You know, Yosef and I have been fatherless ourselves in our beings. Not that we're fatherless in life. We have physical, great earthly fathers, but we felt fatherless in our lives because I believe that almost everybody in this life struggles. Why do we struggle with fatherlessness? We struggle with fatherlessness because we were born into sin. Because we are sinful beings, we already have a disconnect from Father. So we need a Savior. We need the Son, Yeshua, to totally redeem us. And you know what? Yosef, when you look at what he's actually saying here in John 10, verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. And then he tells us why. Mm. Because he gave up his life for the sheep.
Amen.
The very first trait of the good shepherd is that he's offering you the bond of covenant. He's offering you the first covenant, which is the blood covenant. And you know that is actually found, and that's actually found where he says it in Ezekiel. And I just want to get there. Ezekiel 20, 35 to 38 says, I will bring you in. This was a prophecy in Ezekiel's time. I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will enter into judgment with you face to face, like I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I will enter into judgment with you, says Yahweh Almighty. Then listen what he says. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and those that transgress against me. He's speaking about the rod here, of a shepherd's rod. So he's here saying actually that he's already the good shepherd, and that his rod is actually, you know, it's actually an idiom, Yosef. In this particular passage, it's used as a pastoral idiom, which is the rod that David even speaks about. His rod and his staff give him comfort. Why? Because to pass under the rod meant that there's this very specific thing that was happening, was he's bringing you into a covenant, a protection place. Mm-hmm. So the good shepherd, why is Yeshua good? Because Yeshua says, I'm the good shepherd. Why? Because I lay down my life for the sheep. And if you read John 10, which carries on, it actually goes on and on and on and on, and it's beautiful. And he says that I lay down my life. No one can take it from me. I have the power to and the authority to take it up and to keep it. But this is Yahweh's will. This is the Father's will, that I lay down my life for the sheep and and he says, actually, you know what? He actually says that for those that are here, but there are others of another fold that I'm going to gather in. And you know what's actually very special, Yosef, before I give back to you? What's very special about the Hebrew word for rod, it's actually Shevet. And Shevet is actually a word that means the 12 tribes of Israel, the whole house of Israel. Wow. And so Yeshua is the shepherd, and he has this rod of covenant that he holds out to us. And I want to say that I think in our minds, we think that the blood covenant is secondary to the Mosaic covenant, or secondary to the Davidic covenant, or secondary to the bridal covenant. But it is not, because every covenant, like he always says, builds on one another. But one doesn't become less important because you're now in the second or the third, or you're going towards the fourth. There is no entry point, and there's no exit point, and there's no access point, and there's no reconciliation, and there's no truth and depth of anything besides Yeshua's death and his resurrection and his life and his blood, and the fact that he brought us into the bond. It's a bond. It's a connection of covenant where you get to walk with him because you know what he did for you, and you know what he has done for you. And in that, In the blood covenant, I see that in the blood covenant, you have to learn to walk with him in intimacy, and then you start to develop into a deeper friendship. But it's only once you're in the blood covenant can you get to that point. It's like marriage. Marriage was always supposed to be a blood covenant, but when did the blood covenant start? The blood covenant was supposed to start on the honeymoon night. That was when you're supposed to enter into the blood covenant. You're not friends yet. You're really not in the friendship covenant yet, which is, we know, is the second kind of covenant that you're going to move deeper into. So it's first entering into this blood covenant of honeymoon, which is great and awesome, which is how it is when you're first saved. You know, it's like you're in a honeymoon phase. Then you've got to deepen and deepen and start to begin to be people that know each other. And I really thought about this when he says, you know, my sheep know me and I know them, and they know my voice. I really thought about if I had to close my eyes and we were in a room of like 300 people and everyone was kind of talking, like at the same time, say people were whispering and like there were a few people that called my name at the same time, would I be able to recognize your voice in that crowd of like 200-300 people? You're my husband and we've been together, you know, over a decade, and you know, I was thinking to myself, would I be able to recognize your voice above every other person's voice? Because I spend most of my time with you, so I should. And the truth of the matter is then, would I be able to recognize Yeshua's voice? And that's what we've got to ask ourselves. Would we be able to recognize Yeshua's voice? And are we able to recognize Yeshua's voice over all the other voices in our lives? And that's the voice of fear, the voice of anxiety, the voice of doubt and misbelief, and the voice of wounds and past and pain, and the voice of even self or self-righteousness.
I'm sitting here with a big smile on my face because, you know what? I think this coffee break, we could continue talking the whole night because, you know, there's so much meat in this entire passage when you actually look at it. And like you were saying, Leah, this is about the fact that his death, his life that he gave up, gave us entrance into that Abrahamic covenant. In other words, into the sheepfold, into the fold of the family of Yahweh. It was by his blood that he gave us access now to be reconciled to Yahweh, so that we're no longer strangers and foreigners, as Paul says, and aliens out there, but we have access now into the sheepfold. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking the whole time about. And he's saying, hey, you know what? These people, in other words, the Jewish people at that time that believed, they were there, but he says there are others out there that haven't yet come in, that still need to come in. He was talking about that. And you know the blood, Aaliyah, when we read the book of Hebrews, many people don't always understand this, but in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, right near the end, it talks about the fact that it says that we are to press on towards the goal, and it talks about the fact that we are not of those who fall back. And then he says in Hebrews as well that if you disgrace the ruach and the working of the ruach, then it is like someone that tramples underfoot the blood of the covenant that was shed for him. And many people don't understand what that actually talks about. And we've spoken about this before, about the threshold covenant. That when a king would come to someone's house, there would be blood placed upon the door. And at the bottom, they would have, if you go look in history today, and you go look at the doors, there was a piece of the door where you would have almost like a little shallow indent in the door. And they would take the best animal that they had, or that they could afford, and they would then slaughter that animal, the father, and he would take the blood and he would place it at the bottom of the door and leave it there as a sign. It would be a sign of protection of that person that would come into the house, whether it be a king or a dignitary, wherever it would be. And this is what Yeshua is talking about. He is the blood of the covenant that has been shed for us. And the door is the access point into the family, back into that kingdom of Yahweh, back into the family of Yahweh, back into the Garden of Eden, if we continue to walk. But then Hebrews says, but we are not of those who go backwards and trample underfoot. So what does it mean when he says that? What it means is that once you've entered in by that blood, the person would enter in to the house of the Father, and they would be in there, and they would be under the Father's protection. For as long as what you're in the house, that's why you see in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, the whole time he wants to bring them into his house, because in the house of the person, there was protection. That's what how it was. Mm-hmm. So Yahweh is saying that through the blood of Yeshua that was laid down for you, you have access into the family of protection. But if you do not walk in my ways, and if you choose to walk backwards, you're actually walking what? Back out that door, and you're trampling that blood that was placed on that doorpost, on that lintel piece at the bottom. You're stepping over it. You're actually stepping over the covenant that Yahweh made, and you're becoming apostate. That's what he's saying. So this is powerful, powerful, powerful stuff that Yeshua is trying to explain to us. And I think that now we need to go to a song. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting here the whole night and we're going to be talking about this because yeah. There is so much, man, that we can be saying about this. And I feel when we come back, we're going to look at those things, Aaliyah. I know you got a lot more that you want to share too. I have a few things I want to chat on.
We just got to do it as Yahweh's wrath leads us to do it. And we are going to play, I wanted to play the Good Good Father song to you this evening because that really epitomizes what we're actually talking about, that Yahweh is a good father and Yeshua is the good shepherd and that he is so good in every single thing that we're going through. So here is Good Good Father by Chris Tomlin, and we will continue our conversation when we return.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for it.
Sure.
It's who you are, and I'm in love by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Love that song. And I actually watched a video once a while ago about the guy that actually wrote that song, and he would just had this continual chorus going over in his mind, you know, you're a good, good father, you're a good, good father. And it was a part of his journey and his healing journey and his walking journey. And then, you know, somehow or another, he just met someone else, and the song just grew, and eventually Chris Tomlin sang it. And then I actually watched where that guy was with Chris Tomlin in the studio, and how Chris Tomlin, for all that he is in, you know, and being the best-selling Christian artist of all time, in that his songs are sung so in many places and over again, he was really nervous to sing this song, Good Good Father, because he said that the guy that wrote it just wrote it so deeply and he just wanted to do it justice. And I always think about that when I hear that song, and how, you know, it's we don't know people's journeys and why they write me certain songs. And this song actually really means so much to me. So welcome back to the coffee break. I'm really talking about what it means when Yeshua said that he is the good shepherd. There's so much in that, Yosef.
You know, Leah, he starts the passage, and that was something that really was interesting to me. He starts in that passage by saying that, you know, that he's not only the good shepherd, but that he's also the door. It says that he is the door to the sheepfold, in other words, the entranceway. And I had a look at some things with regards to this. I just thought it would be interesting, after what we just said now, you know, about Yeshua being the one that opens the way. But the interesting thing is that there's different words used, but in the Hebrew, the word most commonly used for door is called petach, and it's meaning an opening or a gate of entrance. It's used to describe the entryway to the temple or to a house, like we just said, or to a city. And what's interesting is, like we said, it is the life Yeshua exampled that becomes the entryway, and it provides passage into the sheepfold, into the house of the Father. And what's interesting is that anyone, he says in this passage, anyone attempting to enter by another means other than the example that he himself is giving, in other words, the life that Yeshua is living, such a person, any person that is trying to do that, that person is a thief and a robber. He doesn't say a thief or a robber. He says that person is a thief and a robber. And it's very important to understand that, because a thief and a robber is not necessarily exactly the same thing. We need to understand that a thief is, you know, a thief comes and steals something. A robber comes and breaks into a house. And sometimes in our country, and I'm sure in most countries, a robber sometimes can cause chaos, right? And a thief steals little bit by little bit sometimes without anybody even knowing. So then the question that we have to ask is this, Aaliyah, is that, you know, what then is the life that he exampled? And that's the question that when we look at this passage, we need to ask ourselves. And we've already pretty much looked at it as we were speaking. And the life that Yeshua exampled by what he did was that he lived the life of his Father. He lived the words of his Father out. And what many don't understand here too is that many think that this door, the door that he's speaking about here of the sheepfold, is only salvation, but it's actually not. It's actually the door that leads to life, because Yeshua says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the door that he's actually talking about is the way that we live. In other words, once we live by his example, it leads us into the door of everlasting life. So our salvation has been taken care of in the sense of our faith in him. But now he's saying, you know what? I am the good shepherd. My life has given you access into the family of the Father. But now the life that I've lived is what keeps you
in the family of the Father. And that's what brings you into true life. That's what he's actually saying. And he's saying that there are others, others that come in and they teach contrary to the life that I am living in front of you. And those people are thieves. Because why? Because they steal from you. And I don't want to judge anybody or point a finger at anybody. But the truth of the matter is, Yeshua said it himself. He said, anybody who teaches these commandments and does these commandments shall be great in the kingdom. Anybody who does not do these commandments and teaches others not to keep them will be the least in the kingdom. So Yeshua, yeah, is speaking about thieves and robbers that actually come and they teach something contrary to the life of Yeshua. And you know, Leah, you said that this is not a matter of, you know, just the Torah. It's a matter of our salvation. And that's why the covenants are so important. Because Yeshua says, my life is what was laid down to give you access. But the entire life that I lived in front of you is the life that you need to live. And I kept the commandments perfectly. I kept the commandments because just like Moshe gave the commandments and said that if anyone comes after me that doesn't teach you this, he's a false prophet. Yeshua kept those commandments. So what he's actually saying is the life that I live is the Mosaic covenant lived out in front of you. And therefore, you are now in the family. And as a child of the family in the sheepfold, do the things of a child that lives in this family so that you might receive life and life in abundance. That's actually what he's saying. And this to me blessed me. It really speaks volumes because like you said, just like the fact of Psalm 23 where he talks about that stick and things, you know, I think that we don't always understand really what David was actually speaking there. Mm-hmm. We think like, oh, okay, it's your rod and your staff, they come for me. But what does that actually mean? What does it actually mean when he talks about the fact that your rod and your staff come for me? Does it mean like, oh, okay, so your instructions, they come for me? Or what is he actually trying to say?
You know, I think that for many different people that they would probably answer that differently.
That's right.
Because we all have a personal experience with Yeshua. But earlier on, I said I wanted to read something to you. And this has to do with the rod, this rod that you're talking about, Yosef. Yes. Like, I read this in a book that was all about sheep herding. And it was really, really fascinating to me about how people that herd sheep and that work with sheep, how they obviously can see things in a specific way. And I think that applies to many different things in the scriptures. If you are, you know, working in a certain place and the Bible speaks about it, you'll be able to relate to it in a very deep way. And I think that we have the nation of Israel, ancient Israel, as a sheep herding nation and as nomadic, and people that have lived that kind of life can connect. And this really blessed me about the rod, and especially when it connects, like I said, to verse 14, where it talks about, you know, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep and they know my voice. Mm-hmm. and I know them. And that's the other thing that I mentioned earlier on, Yosef, when I was thinking about, you know, if you were in a crowd, would I be able to recognize your voice? Well, yeah, what's so special to me is that not only are we able to recognize, only, you know, not only is it about I can recognize Yeshua's voice, but he can recognize mine. Mm-hmm. And so that when I speak, he can say, hey, you know, that's mine, Aliyah. That's my child. And I know the tone of her voice, the bass of her voice, the treble of her voice. I know the sound of it, everything. And I love to hear her voice. And I know that you always say it, that you can say, I know somebody, for example, you can say, you know, I don't know, Donald Trump. But does Donald, we all know Donald Trump. You know, we know his stupid tweets that he's always tweeting. We know what he's about. But does he know you? Mm. So if you were known by him, not that maybe you want to be, but, you know, say you were at dinner with him often or you know, he knows you. And someone will be like, hey, yo, you know, Donald, you know, Yosef. Oh, yeah, no, Yosef, yeah, he's a cool guy. And he knows you. Mm-hmm. So we can all say that we know somebody, but do they really know us? And here Yeshua is saying, you will know me and I will know you. And that's too cool for school to me. So let me read this to you. It says this in this book that I read. It said, sometimes I have been fascinated to see how a shepherd will actually hold his staff out against the side of a sheep that is a special pet or even a favorite, simply so that they are in touch. They will walk along this way almost as though they were hand in hand. And the sheep obviously enjoys this special attention from the shepherd and enjoys the close, personal, intimate contact that exists between them. Mm. And that's like a, just this, this sense and this life of being in the field with a sheep and a shepherd. But this shepherd just holding out, now that to me, probably because of my personality and who I am and how Yahweh wants me to understand him, but that's how his rod and his staff would comfort me in a way, not the only way, but to know that he would put the staff up against the side of a sheep that is special, and they'll just walk like that, and it'll just be intimate, and it'll be close, and it'll be a connection. And I think that that's what it's about with Yeshua. The only way you learn to know someone's voice is if you listen to it all the time, and you enjoy their voice and you live with them and you know it, and you're not only listening. You know, there's a difference. We were taught when I was studying psychology, we were taught that there's a difference between listening and hearing. Listening is when a sound, you know, is when a sound hits your eardrum and your eardrum moves, and you recognize, your brain is able to recognize that there has been a sound, be it a bird in the distance or a song or whatever. But really, hearing is different, because you hearing is you, because especially when you're a counselor, you're listening to body language, nonverbal communication. You're listening to what people say. You're reading between what they say. You're listening for emotion. So listening and hearing are different. And you can only really learn the intimacy of someone else's voice and what they're saying and what they mean and what they're not saying and what that also means if you spend a lot of time with them and if you're intently listening to understand. And I want to just add as a side that a lot of men are very bad at listening, because no, it is a true thing. Not listening to Yeshua, but listening to their wives. I said that I wouldn't mind doing relationship therapy, because when I was studying, we had to do so much relationship therapy, because there just seems to be, it's got to do with attention span. And we all have to tune ourselves in. That's why women are so good at relationships, because we have a tendency to listen more or to even talk more. So we process things a bit more. And so all of us need to tune in, men and women, need to really tune in to listening deeply to Yeshua's voice. And even understanding, and some people may not understand this, but understanding what Yeshua is saying when he's not saying something. In other words, what is his nonverbal communication actually saying? Because sometimes the Father in prayer, the Father won't say something like, say to me, but I will have a almost picture of him doing something, and then I'll be like, oh, I get it. And through him not saying something, he's actually communicating something with me that I understand, because I've learned and I'm continuing learning to be in tune with him. So it's just like when I was younger, we weren't allowed to take, if we went to visit people's houses, we weren't allowed to take more than one sweet from the bowl. So we would like sit and like an hour would pass and you totally want another sweet. But I would look over at my dad and then he would like do this little nod that other people couldn't see. And then I would know that I could take a sweet, another sweet. And it's a way of understanding somebody and way that they communicate. And I believe that the Father speaks to us like that as well.
Amen. You know, Leah, you were spamming.
I wasn't spamming.
We were talking about, you know, Psalm 23, where he says that, about the shepherding and things like that. And one thing that really speaks to me to this whole thing is that he's not just standing there as a shepherd stands and has a look, but he's actually leading us to certain things and through certain things. And I think that's what it means to be the good shepherd, because if he is a good father, then just like a good father, the good shepherd does exactly the same thing for his sheep. And a father will lay down his life for his child. And that's what Yeshua has done for us. He laid down his life. But you know, he's not just this shepherd, but he's actually shepherding us. He's leading us in the way that we need to go if we are willing to follow in his footsteps. And then we do that by hearing his voice. And, you know, know, in Revelation, it says that the remnant, that they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. To follow the Lamb wherever he goes, it's like you said, we need to hear his voice, and we need to hear his voice clearly. But you know, when I was thinking about this in this passage too, there's two things that people forget. In order to be a true priest of Yahweh, there are two things very specifically that we need to do in order to qualify to be a priest. And one of them is we need to keep the commandments. We need to obey the covenant that Yahweh has given. But if you remember in Exodus, when Yahweh gave the covenant, he said, obey my covenant as well as obey my voice. Obey my voice was very, very important. And again here, this is something that Yeshua is saying again to his people. He's saying, you know what? We must remember that we must keep his covenant, but we must also obey his voice. Mm-hmm. And I think today that many keep the commandments. And I want to say it like it is. Many people keep the commandments and they say, oh, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But the truth of the matter is that, are we really keeping the words of Yeshua or his voice? Mm-hmm. When he says to you, I want you to tithe your money to so-and-so. When he says to you, I want you to go and feed the poor. When he says to you, I want you to get rid of that thing that's in your house that you're not even using and go and give it to someone else. Or I want you to not do what you're doing today and I want you to phone John over there who you saw last week and just encourage them. Those are the things, Aaliyah, that actually cause miracles. You know, Yeshua, the Bible says, was in a time that was unlike any others. In other words, what I mean by that is he walked in perfect time with the Father. Why? Because he heard the voice of his Father. So we look at the story, for example, with Lazarus, and everybody's crying out and saying, man, this guy is dead. He stinketh, my Lord, the King James says. And it's funny, but it's the truth. You know, this guy was dead. And people were saying, you know, what's wrong with this rabbi? He's taking his time. But Yeshua, knowing what the Father wanted to do through the life of Lazarus, he was in perfect time. And he didn't go too fast, he didn't go too slow. But the reason why was because he was in tune with the Father. If we are really in tune with the Father, there's going to be times in your life, brothers and sisters, where people are going to look at you and say to you, you know what, Aaliyah, that Aaliyah, man, she's weird. She does weird things. You know, she stops meetings halfway while she's talking, and all of a sudden she starts to pray. But you know what? They'll come to know who the Father is because of your obedience. People came to know the Father through the life of Yeshua. They came to know the power of Yahweh because he was in true perfect time. Mm-hmm. He was in step with his Father. And that's what Yeshua is trying to say. He's trying to say, you know what? I'm not just a shepherd that looks over my sheep, but I'm actually shepherding my sheep. I'm not just standing at a distance. I'm actually leading you to where you need to go. I will protect you. I will fend over you. I will take my rod and my staff and they will protect you. They will look after you. Mm-hmm. And I will look after my sheep. Why? Because I've made the sacrifice for my sheep to come into that fold. So as the person that has made not only the sacrifice, but has laid his life down, like I said, I will also then protect you. It's actually the Father. The Father is the one that protects us because we have now come into that family, and therefore we should also be protecting one another. We should learn how to protect one another. And unfortunately, the problem with the body of Messiah Yeshua is, you know, when we're in the family and we get access in, that's when we start to pull out our weapons and start to shoot one another in the back. Mm. And we are the only, we're the only people sometimes, I think, you know, friendly fire is crazy in the body of Messiah. We call it friendly fire. But in actual fact, it's because I'm jealous of you, or I don't like what gift you have, or I don't like what you said. So what do? As soon as the person turns their back away, boom, we shoot them in the back. And Yeshua is saying, no, if we are truly part of his family, then we will protect one another. As a brother protects his sister, as a sister protects her brother, so we should protect one another. And that's what I'm seeing. And you know, the other thing that he says in this passage is he talks about the fact that, you know, he says that there are these thieves that gain entrance by another means, and it's not the door that they come in, but it actually says that they jump over. They come over in different ways. And he says, you know, and he says the reason why they come in is because they are not living the life that was set by the Good Shepherd. And he actually says these people, he says, are described as hirelings or as hired people. They're not actually my people. They have been hired. Mm. And you know, it's not talking, yeah, we need to understand something. People have always quoted this passage of scripture and said, oh, the devil came, you know, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah, these people, maybe they're operating in the spirit of the enemy. But the truth of the matter is that these are people that are actually leading the flock of Yeshua astray by their false teachings. These are actually false prophets. They are teachers that are actually coming in and they are using the truth of Messiah, or truth in inverted commas, of who Yeshua is, and they are hirelings. They're using Yeshua to get funds. They're using Yeshua for money, for profit, for what they can get out of it. Think about a person that you hire to come and work for you. He comes to your house to work. Why? Because he wants to get wages. So these people are using the gospel for their own gain. And they're using their influence over the people. And Yeshua says, you know what? These people are hirelings. They're not part of this family. They're not even part of me. And such a person, brothers and sisters, that's why it says in the Bible, it says, you know, there'll come a time where you'll say, well, I cast out demons in your name. I did all these things. And Yeshua will say, depart from me, you practice lawlessness. I didn't even know you. These are these people. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And we need to be careful of wolves in sheep's clothing that are in the body. Then there was one last thing that was on my heart. And he talks about in John, you know, this to me really spoke to me. In John, now it's gone all crazy. In John chapter 10, I had it on the computer, and then I clicked on it, and then it went all then weird.
It went boof.
He says this, in verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And throughout this passage, he talks about the gatekeepers. And we've spoken, you know, Leah, often in the teachings. I did a whole teaching on gatekeepers. But if you look at what it says in verse 3, it says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. So many people have translated that and said, okay, well, the gatekeeper is the Father. But when you actually go look at the words, yeah, it says, firstly this, and I'm taking this from one of the other teachings, it says, traditionally, we have been taught that the gatekeeper is the Father, Yahweh. However, the Greek word used in John 10 is thyros, and it actually means a doorkeeper, a servant who attends to what comes in and out of a particular door to the kingdom. It's the same word Yeshua uses in Mark 13:34, where he says to those servants that we just spoke about in the last teaching about I am the vine, those servants that went out into the streets and collected the people to bring them in to the wedding feast. It's the same servants. It gives the same authority to them. So what it's actually saying in verse 3 is powerful, because it says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. So think of that and take your mindset away from this being the Father and put yourself in the place of a true priest, one that is a true disciple. What does that disciple do? By the life that they live, by the obedience that was exampled to them by Yeshua himself, they become a gatekeeper. So their life opens up this doorway. It's kind of like a crack in the side. It opens up a door for Yahweh, for the Father's presence to be seen by these people's life. And then it says this, and he goes, and it says the gatekeeper opens the gate for Yeshua. In other words, for Yeshua to come through, and the sheep listen to his voice. That's why you have a difference, Leah, between the fivefold ministry, those that have been called by Yahweh into that office, and the sheep. The sheep are always looking for a shepherd. Mm-hmm. Those that have found the shepherd will walk as the shepherd did. That's why we have a distinction between the great multitude and the bride. That's why you have a distinction, too, between those that are in the fivefold ministry doing the work and those that are actually just of the body. And that's what he's saying here. He says that these people, these gatekeepers, as they live the life that I have exampled to them, they will lead others to the Father. You know, this passage of scripture that he speaks about is awesome, because he says too that I lay my life down. And then in John chapter 15, when he speaks to his disciples, he says, no greater love hath any man than to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you keep my commandments. So he's, the whole time that Yeshua speaks, he's trying to show us how we live as a family, how we live together, how we bless one another, how we don't fall out of covenant with him either. And you know what you said, he talks and he says, yeah, that, you know, so many people lay so much emphasis on the Mosaic covenant. But right here, he's actually talking about the fact that, you know, your salvation is what brought you in. The life that you live is keeping that Mosaic covenant so that you can have that inheritance that I want to give you. And I see it like this. Many are called, few are chosen. In the end, there's only going to be a few that really live like this. Mm-hmm. A few that are going to actually be, how do I say, following the voice of the one who called them. And I really get upset with people sometimes when they say, oh, but you know, the Torah is the voice. No, it's not. The Torah is not the voice of Yeshua. Mm-hmm. Yeshua gives us fresh understanding of who he is on a daily basis based upon our relationship with him. If you are not hearing the voice of Yeshua in your life, you have to ask yourself, what am I missing? If you just sit day in, day out reading the word of Yahweh and you never ever received a fresh word telling you, go to the left, go to the right, do this, do that. Something's missing. There's an intimacy problem in your life.
You know, Yosef, I know that we're going to close off now. We're going to go to a time of prayer. But there's a song that I want you to find that I wanted you to play during the time. And it's that song called First Love by Chris Tomlin. And while you're finding that song, while I've given you a bit of a task to find that song, I just felt that as exactly what you were saying was that often, and I think it's a problem for many people, that there is this missing of forgetting this first love. And the first love is not the first love of things and things that we can do, but it's about Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And if we know him, we need to, as you said, know his voice and hear his voice. And how do we hear his voice? And we hear his voice by spending time with him. And that doesn't mean that just spending time with him looks a certain way. It doesn't have to look a certain way. It can be spending time with him in everything. And that's how it should be. Walking and imagining, you know, his rod and his staff are at your side. And you walking intimately, almost hand in hand with him every single day. We can't forget our first love. It is, as we've said many times, and as I will say over and over again, it is all about Yeshua. Mm. And that doesn't mean that we negate obedience to his commandments. No, because it's about Yeshua, we walk in love with him, keeping the very things that he said that we need to. But we cannot forget that he is the good shepherd, that he was the one that laid down his life for us, that he is the only true shepherd, and that we shouldn't be following another, and that he is good in every season of our lives, and even in everything that he is good. And I want us now to go to the song that was really laid on my heart. And you're so welcome to put your prayer request down now as we play and listen to the song. But I really also just pray that you will allow the song to minister to your heart. And when we come back, we will just pray together. So this is First Love by Chris Tomlin.
Before we go into the song, there's just one last thing that I want to ask, and that is, who do you embrace? You know, a son and a daughter, when they see their father, they want to embrace their daddy. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's so important this evening, that we come to a point where we realize, like Leah said, that our first love needs to be Yeshua, and then we will embrace him. Mm-hmm. We will embrace the life that he lived. We will embrace the character that he portrayed, and we will embrace the newness and the desire to do more in this life. So that's what he wants us to do, to embrace him as a father embraces his son, as a father embraces his daughter. So we need to embrace him. And I'm reminded of that story earlier about the prodigal son, and how the scripture tells us that the father put a robe on his son and he embraced him. He held him close. And that's what the Father is saying to us. I want to embrace you because I am your good, good Father.
And you know what's amazing about that scripture about the prodigal son? Actually, in the original, it says that when he saw him, he ran, and then he kissed him. Sorry. And it actually says that he kissed him over and over and over again. And he didn't stop kissing him. And that really spoke to me because, you know, we sometimes think that it's just a one-time event, yeah, or salvation was once, or we can come to the Father once or whatever, but it's just this continual, like, amen. Yeshua is just always wanting to embrace us, and Yeshua is just always wanting to be close to us, and it's just over and over and over again. And so that's so special, and we're just going to leave that with you as we go to the song.
Still my my first love, and all I am is yours. You are still my anchor, forever I'm secure. You are still my first love, you're my guiding light. You're with me in the fire, and you lead me through the night.
Microphone was so far away from me when Yosef pushed the button, and I was like, what are you doing? I really, really like that song, and just really pray that it really, really blessed you this evening. And so I know that there aren't any prayer requests, so I think that we should just close in prayer, Yosef. So Abba Father, we just want to say thank you so much for your goodness and your grace and for your mercy. And Father, for everything that you have done for us, Father, and may we just seek you in everything that we do. May we just seek your righteousness and your truth. Yeshua, may we just exalt you over absolutely everything, and look, Father, to be transformed into your image, Yeshua, into your image on this earth, to be people that carry your presence and people that bear your image to this dying world. I just really pray a blessing over every single person that has joined us this evening in all of our needs. Father, I pray that your power and strength would be manifest. And Father, that you would give us shalom that just surpasses all understanding. We pray that you will remove every stumbling block from our path, Father, and that you will put us on a level path, Father, where our feet can walk steadily alongside you in intimacy and in truth. and in goodness, and we just glorify and honor you. I pray a blessing over every single person for a great week ahead, Father. May we just continue to exalt your name and lift it on high. Yeshua Mashiach, we just praise you and give you glory, and we pray this in your mighty, mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So Yusuf, thank you so much for this great coffee break.
Thank you, Leah.
And I really just want to wish everybody a Shavua Tov. May Yahweh bless you, may keep you, may make his face to shine upon you. And until next week, shalom, shalom. And we're going to play out with a new song from The Belonging Co. that's featuring Natalie Grant. And it is called Isn't He All About Yeshua. So enjoy, and see you next time.
Shalom.